Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva of Days of Our Lives and Friends. We will be discussing all the crazy shenanigans that happened this week on Days of Our Lives. Call in to talk to us at 914-338-1239. Join us daily at our blog at divadaysofourlives.blogspot.com. We're on Facebook at Diva Days, and I'm thinking about changing that, so I'll let everybody know. Lately, we've been tweeting live while watching Days at Diva Abdul. And you can also friend and follow us at Blog Talk Radio. This Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be interviewing Matthew Ashford, who played Jack Devereaux for a number of years on Days of Our Lives. Matthew will soon make his debut on the web series The Bay. We will also be discussing with Matt retinoblastoma, eye cancer, during the show. So a lot of people have been asking questions about how Days has been doing with Johnny's eye cancer storyline. So we're going to ask Matt his opinion on it. And I also noticed, too, that Matt has a calendar out. It's only $10 if you want to help donate money to Retinoblastoma International. And you can find information actually on our Facebook page, or you can go to Matt's Facebook page if you're interested in buying this calendar. On Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be interviewing Lauren Coslow, who portrays Kate Roberts DeMiro on Days of Our Lives. We're excited for both these interviews. We've been waiting a long time for both of them, and they're both phenomenal actors and great people. And I don't know why I lost my voice all of a sudden, but hopefully you guys can all. I went to church and I was singing, so I think maybe that has something to do with it. So I'm hoping everyone can come and join us for Matthew and Lauren, and you can call in and talk to them, which is fantastic. So we have tonight we have Anna joining us.
Hello.
We have Marianne.
Hello.
And we have Madeline.
Hello.
Hi. So I was going to ask, Anna, I know you're excited for Lauren.
Yes.
No.
Just slightly excited. Oh, yeah.
Is there anything you're hoping to learn from Lauren or Matt this week?
What's that?
Is there anything you're hoping to learn from Lauren or Matt this week? Or
you know, I'm just really excited that everyone will get a chance to talk with them and, mm-hmm. you know, and for them to talk with the fans. And that's the funnest part for me is just, you know, being able to have that interaction. And, you know, and you always learn something new. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you think you might know a lot about the person or whatever, but then when you get questions from other people, you find out new things, which is always fun, I think. So, so I'm anxious to talk about State, of course, Stefano and Kate, and, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. So, yeah, it'll be great.
And Madeline, Marianne and I, we've had the pleasure of meeting both Matt and Lauren. And, of course, Anna, you've met Lauren also.
Yeah.
And Matthew, what impressed me about him is, man, he just, like, knows Jack Devereaux backwards and forwards. And the fascinating stories I heard from him was how he fought to keep Jack's, emotional baggage. He always fought to keep Jack awkward in love and not, you know, all mushy-gushy with Jennifer. And I always thought that was real fascinating to learn from him. And from Lauren, she is just such a sweetheart. I mean, she is so unlike Kate is unbelievable. She's
even her voice is different.
Yeah.
The way she speaks is completely different.
And she's so tiny, too.
She is itty-bitty tiny. Yeah, unbelievably
and more,
tiny.
And more stunning in person than she is even on screen, which is hard to believe, but it's really true.
In many different ways. She was so amazing with her fans. She really is.
She had
long lines because she took so much time with each person.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
She's a... Mm-hmm. She's great. She's just awesome. So I'm excited.
Oh yeah, she's so serene. you know how, like, you know, I'm, or Zen, you know, that's just so calm and quiet, and you're like, wow, this is Kate. It's unbelievable. I mean, she's even with all the demureness and being so sweet, she's super uber cool too. I mean, she's just like the coolest chick in the room. You know, no matter what room she's in, she's the coolest person there.
That's a great observation. Very true.
It is true, though, isn't she?
And she's got a big heart. It was so cute. When we were standing in line at Day of Days this last time, in her line, and there's this group of girls in front of me, their mom, the mom, and three daughters, and the youngest one was about six. And, you know, we all know that Kate, one of the similarities between Kate and Lauren is that they both love boots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the little girl had these boots on, and we were talking about the boots. I'm like, you know, Lauren, you know how Kate wears boots. Well, Lauren loves boots, too. You ought to show those to her when you get up there. And the girl was all shy. She was smiling, but she was like, and her mom's like, oh, she probably will be too shy. And so when we got up to the table, I just gave Lauren this look, and, you know, she figured it out, and she jumped on it, and she was like, oh, my gosh, look at those boots. And she was so, like, you could just see that mother in her come out, and she was just so sweet. And she was like, thank you for giving me the heads up. So, you know, she's just like that. She's just so sweet and so sincere and just awesome, plus super talented, you know, let's not forget about that part.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was your impressions of Matthew and Lauren, Madeline?
Oh, she's got quite a sense of humor. They both do, which is I really liked about them. She just takes everything in stride, but you don't get the impression she's aloof, which, unlike some of the other people I've met, is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you meet her in person, that makes a big difference.
Right.
But because I've met several of them, and they're all nice to their fans, but some just come off as kind of some fans are more important than others, or
right.
even that they're there because it's their job. I never get that feeling. I never got that feeling from her, and I certainly didn't. I mean, when I met Matthew, it was amazing because he wasn't there for a job. He wasn't even on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But he came anyway, and he was willing to talk to anybody who wanted to talk to him, and he was great. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, and I read Facebook, and I kind of missed this news yesterday because I was super busy. But I wanted to discuss that our past guests on Vlog Talk Radio, Leanne Hunley, and Jennifer Brown Thomas. Jennifer wrote and produced Leanne's new movie, Blissful Lies. They will be making a new movie together. I'm not sure you guys heard that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had some
another one
today, and I didn't get there
the
yet.
The girl's amazing.
I know.
Wow. She's amazing. She's an inspiration.
She just popped
to me
out
too.
A baby. She just popped out a baby.
Oh
yeah, and she's going to school full time.
She's going to school.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and she's
just
making Blissful Lies into a novel. She said before she had the baby, she wrote first five chapters already, and now she's already committed to
another movie.
Yeah, and I think she doesn't even have a script yet. And
no.
Leanne already agreed to be the star.
Oh my gosh! That's awesome.
Yeah, really great.
And she's planning a website, I think, and a premiere, and for the first one of the first movie. So yeah, oh,
wow.
She does it.
Busy girl.
Yeah.
It's neat to see the
just to have a big support system is all I could say.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Nikki wrote on the chat room. Jennifer never sleeps. Well, with the baby, she's not going to sleep anyway. So you might as well do something productive.
There you go. You might as well write a movie. That's great.
Yeah, why not?
I could have written 1,000 movies. Yeah. No, it didn't occur to me to write when my kids were babies. I should have though. I was up every 2 or 3 hours, but. Yeah, so that's on the blog if you guys want to follow that, or Facebook. I shared what she had to say on Facebook, too. So that's the news that's been coming out lately. And the big shocker this week was Jake Kenneth Johnson and Shelley Henning both quitting the show. Shelley's last film date, I think, is Groundhog Day or that week, and I haven't heard yet about Jay when his last filming day is. So Yeah, Anna, were you surprised by these? By this? Oh, actually, you were surprised. I told you on the phone.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was like, holy cow. I mean, right in the middle of this huge story, and it's like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, I mean, I can only imagine the Flowey fans must be heartbroken, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, after all this buildup to get to the point where he's exposed as the father, you know, I know that they've been waiting, you know, for him and Chloe to connect back up, and then in a bigger way than just the one night stand that they had, you know. And so,
which is the only way I could have ever told already, Chloe.
It's just such a weird timing. I don't know. I mean, I can understand Shelley. You know, if it's the end of her contract, and she's done an awesome job. You know, especially lately, some of her scenes have just been really, you know, pretty powerful. And so, I mean, she could be leaving on a high note and just want to do something else or want to pursue prime time or something. But, you know, I wish her well and everything. But I'm really surprised that Jay, you know, I don't know. I mean, of course, he could be pursuing the same type of things, but I was just really shocked.
Has anybody heard why they're quitting?
They both
Their contracts are up,
but I'm not surprised they're leaving. They've been getting absolutely the shittiest stories.
Well,
yeah, Stephanie has.
You know, but
yeah.
A lot of people
anything.
Stay on long.
Philip, especially.
It's been a minute, Philip.
Victor Kyriakos' son, and Philip's storyline is Melanie.
I do like her, but I do kind of like her.
Where's this leave Melanie? No Nathan now and no Philip. They're going to have to get her somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ripple effect's going to be, I mean, unless they recast Philip or something.
Unless they recast.
I mean, they've done it before, but what a bummer. I really love him in that role.
I've been waiting
to see the new haircut. When does that appear? I mean, we've known
he
about
did.
It for a while.
Oh,
really?
He's getting a new haircut? Oh.
Oh, yeah, he got a haircut a while back.
Yeah, he does
back.
Need one. Oh.
Well, I mean, he wanted one. From what I read, he wanted to do it, and he was told no for a while. And then finally, I guess, he got permission. That's what I read. I don't know if that's 100% accurate. But so he's supposed to be showing up with his haircut soon, and I keep waiting. It's not showing up.
Not yet.
See, it's actually long enough now that it grew on me. I mean, I actually like it now, like the life he had
yesterday.
Behind
his ear.
Yeah, I kind of like
it
that length now.
I don't think the problem was that it was long. It was just that it was always hanging. You know, the way they styled it was just terrible.
Oh, Nikki said in the chat room that she heard from Jennifer Thomas today that the Blissful Lives website will be up on January 31st. With the trailer, promotional pictures, and behind-the-scenes videos, and they finished their IMDb page and it's waiting to be approved.
Right.
So, yeah, right. So pretty soon. Yay. Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of great stuff for Blissful Lives coming soon. Yeah, so.
That's going to be so cool to see that on screen.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, too, someone reminded me, I can't remember, but maybe it was Anna, that Jay Kenneth, the last time his contract was in negotiations, he got mad and, like, packed up his stuff and left.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Room.
He cleared out his closet, was walking out the door, and then somehow
he came back.
Well, and it was right after Gary Tomlin was hired.
Hmm.
I remember.
I don't know what the deal is, but, I mean, it would be nice if he'd make some sort of public statement. Maybe he's going to Soap Opera Digest or
I think that would be like burning his bridges, and I don't think he'll do that.
I think I read somewhere in an interview, I don't know if it was in Soap Opera Digest, I don't know, but Mark Hapka said that Tomlin told him he was leaving because it was a writing problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was because of the writing.
Hmm.
And more or less he's going on, he said something about Dina Higley. Not wanting to write for him. And I've been just hearing different ones and I said, well, she doesn't want to write for a lot of different actors.
Okay. Right.
You know, it's one she does want to write for.
Or she doesn't want to write for, she doesn't know
or
how to write for them.
And some of them she wants to write for twice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Hernandezes is the only one she wants to write for.
I think it's Allison and James, though, too. It's not just Rafe. It's, you know, it's the whole the whole gang, really. That whole. So basically,
yeah,
if Nathan doesn't knock up Sammy, then he's not going to get a storyline. You know.
Yeah.
All about Sammy.
All about Sammy.
Could we hope that the wrong Rafe knocks her up? That would be too funny.
Oh, guess what? Okay. She does it with him. Yep.
All right.
I want
that to be the kid she has.
That's the one time I might actually enjoy watching him do it. just pure, like, you know, a train wreck kind of thing. You'd be like, oh, this is kind of entertaining. Yeah.
Yep. Sammy,
I really
does
don't
have
like sex. It when the real Rafe. Like,
I guess that's going to be happening soon, I guess.
Oh,
huh?
Lord.
Yeah, because we know for sure Rafe number 2 is on Valentine's Day. So,
okay.
We know that
boy.
For sure. So a couple weeks. Yeah,
a couple weeks.
Uh-huh. Oh, I might
this would be hilarious.
I'm interested to see how this goes. Yeah, how they do
maybe
that.
That might actually be funny.
Maybe they are actually writing
somewhere
it, not be rootable. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's funny.
Well, they can write him to be rootable all they want, but the more they make him a hypocrite, the more...
I'm just waiting to see how he can pull this off. See the difference. See if we can tell the difference.
They don't care.
We
could
be able to tell
the
difference.
But see, Tomlin is the, you know, he's going on about how it doesn't matter about talent, so I don't see that they care if he pulls it off or not.
Yeah. Well, it isn't all, not about
you know,
the talent. Right?
They seem to think that more Rafe means they'll get more viewers, and if they're 12 years old and don't give a shit if
right, as long as he looks
they
pretty, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well,
Nikki said 15 minutes in the show with no Rafe talk. Well, enjoyed it while it lasted. So that's funny. But, yeah. But, yeah, I'm actually now looking forward to the Rafe number 2 storyline, only because it might actually be funny.
Yeah.
For all the wrong reasons, but, yes, it'll be funny. And, you know, I don't mind the fact that EJ is in on it because, anybody, you know, if it was
like
for him, Rafe would be dead. So Rafe House is coming, as far as I'm concerned.
EJ, but I like bad EJ, too.
But yeah, if you
heartless.
I like bad EJ, but I don't like heartless EJ.
EJ.
I haven't liked the, you know, robbing his
with
children
the
of their mother,
right.
Even if he is dysfunctional and totally inadequate as a mother. I mean,
plot against Rafe.
Yeah.
I like that.
So do you think Kate's going to figure this whole thing out, and is she going to keep her mouth shut, or you know?
She knows something's going on because she overheard Stefano. Yeah.
Well, they had her walk in right at the second that he said.
I was hoping she would be in on it.
And Kate gave her such a totally lame answer when she questioned him on it that I know she's thinking that did not make sense at all. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I'll be upset if Kate doesn't have a problem with leaving Vivian in a sarcophagus, but she does have a problem with letting them lock up Rafe.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that Rafe is totally cool with it.
Yeah, she ought to be.
Maybe she could take him a green apple. Maybe she could take him a green apple.
Or
brownie. Yeah, brownie. I need a new banner. That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Picture of Rafe in the basement tied up.
Taking those brownies.
And then Kate bringing him a plate of brownies.
Oh.
I'm twisted like that. And fortunately, so are you guys. So.
Well, it won't be happy though if Kate goes running to Sammy about this. Kate shouldn't care.
Why does she care? Yeah. She'll say because of Will and Allie. I think that was the other reason, right?
That's all the more reason to get rid of Rafe.
Yeah.
You know what cracked me up was when Kate and Stefano were on the couch. And Kate was like, oh, what Chloe did to Daniel. And Stefano starts busting up laughing. He was like, well, you're just loving it. You know, Danlo blew up. And it was just hilarious.
Yeah.
And her acting like she gave a rat's ram that, you know, Daniel's life came crashing down.
They were so cute. Those scenes were so cute. And when she said, what? She was so cute.
I'm laughing at the chat room. You guys are cracking me up.
No, I'm not in.
Your friend in the chat room said that right number
two. Who's all in the chat room?
Yeah. Well, we have newbies in there. So, Fred said you should put a question mark on Rafe number two's forehead to tell them apart, and I said they should wear a I'm a Stupid t-shirt.
Oh, get in there.
Oh, I know. I like that. Rafe number one on one forehead and Rafe number two on the other. Really? Come on.
Yeah.
How are we ever going to tell them apart?
Well, Rafe number two, give him a phoenix tattoo like everybody else.
Well, one will be tied up in the basement. That's how we're going to tell them apart.
Yeah.
Will that really be the real Rafe, or will Rafe outsmart Stefano? See, that's the thing. That will really suck.
No,
if Rafe Stefano. Because, you know, they made him – remember how a while back they made him – I can't remember what the scenario was, but he sort of outsmarted Stefano, per se. And I'm like, please, really? That would never happen. You know, so let's hope that doesn't happen.
Superhero Rafe.
Sorry, there's nobody on this show at this point that could outsmart Stefano except Kate.
There you go.
Well, maybe right now, no one can outsmart Brady.
But I doubt
it. I mean, holy hell. Brady's been the bad guy.
I like the baddie
Brady.
he's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Brady's got the Salem brains right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used to share a community
Victor's
phone.
Making him bring
now
back
they
Vivian.
Just share a community brain, and he's like...
Yeah.
I like that. And I mean, I hope eventually Nicole and Brady find their way back to
Oh, I loved her, him screaming at her and throwing her out. That was good.
Oh, by the way, they shot new Days of Our Lives promo pics. I think it was today. I was reading it on Twitter. Maybe it was yesterday. And the one was like a brick hole versus Broey. So they're throwing Chloe back in with Brady.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that too. Chloe and Brady, but it's like the wrong Chloe and Brady. I don't know.
Oh.
Well, I guess they're putting her with someone.
If they couldn't get along when he was a drug addict, they're supposed to. Now she's not going to have a problem with the fact he's drinking.
No, I feel
and,
like
well,
she's nuts.
Doing
Brady
all sorts
and Nicole.
Of other stuff.
She's walking around nuts right now. So
yeah. Brady and Nicole.
Yeah, could we
like...
please stick? If we're not gonna keep Philip, then we need to stick Chloe with somebody that I don't care about watching because I don't for ruining Brady. Oh my God.
Oh man.
No way.
And that's gonna torture Nicole because Nicole really wants to be with Brady.
And that's gonna ruin Chloe and Nicole's friendship too. They're both fighting over Brady.
And she's now the whole going to be married to somebody who's mooning over her sister. So man, that sucks.
So it's gonna be EJ and Taylor, right? Is that
right.
Apparently lightning strikes on the way down the aisle.
Maybe literally?
Yeah.
Well, EJ did say he wanted to get married in a church, so it could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, be married in a church? You're kidding.
Fred in the chat room.
He wanted a big wedding in a church for Nicole. I mean, you should see him on Friday. I mean, he threw out everything he could to get that girl to agree to marry him. I mean, he was. You saw it, Miriam. We were dating during that. Oh my gosh, he was just. Like 1 inch away from her lips the entire time, and saying, "Oh yes, we'll have a big wedding, and oh, you can be the mother for Cindy and Johnny." And he was just laying it on thick, and she's like, "Okay,
okay, EJ, anything
whatever
you want,
EJ."
Yeah, I don't blame her.
Was something else. Oh, Fred wants to stick Clay with Race. That would be the. Probably the craptastic couple of the year.
You know that they could do a remake of Dumb and Dumber. Oh, I didn't say that out loud.
There's been inklings of Nicole and Rafe too.
Can you imagine?
Now the sad part about that, Anna, is that Dumb and Dumber would be more entertaining than watching the two of them.
Chloe with anybody just is like.
I love. I very rarely root for Stephanie, but when Chloe went over there and she was attacking Caroline and all that, I was like, and Stephanie was like, you know, personal responsibility here. If it weren't for you screwing Philip,
I was like,
oh yeah, there you go,
Chloe. It was your fault.
Yeah. Oh, that whole
even
mess.
Philip's like. Philip's like, yeah, it's our fault, Chloe. Because Chloe wanted to talk to Philip.
At least Philip's admitting it.
Yeah, but she wanted him to testify against Caroline. And it's, and did you guys hear it go spastic on Caroline on Friday? Holy heck. I have to give Nellie Bjorn some credit. I mean, she was screaming like you wouldn't believe. I have to say, I thought she did a great job with that episode on Friday. She was screaming and carrying on, and Shelley was great, too, screaming and carrying on back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty good. But, I think Nellie's actually doing good with the storyline. You can tell, Chloe's on the verge of a nervous breakdown, but she's not, like, over the top, though.
Well, isn't she supposed to be going through a depression or something, they said? Depression or something. Yeah.
Postpartum depression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I sure hope that doesn't make Daniel sympathize with her, because, oh, Lord, I don't want to see those two again. I really
don't. Oh, no, Daniel.
Well,
I'd
rather see those two again than where Daniel
wants to get the baby away.
Well, yeah, we know that, but.
The idea of Daniel with Jennifer. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, see, now I'm afraid.
Jack and Jen fans are going to hate
that. That was even worse. That was even worse than
we'll
hearing
that.
Have
to tell Matt,
you
got to come back.
And two raves.
God. I mean, how worse can they make this? Rhetorical question.
Well, we could have someone go around pretending to kill off half the cast. It could always get worse. We put them on an island.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, not again.
There's already an island set out.
JR's proteges are running this show. Don't put it past them.
Yes, it could always get worse. But, Jennifer and Daniel, I can't even see that being a remotely interesting couple. I mean, I can see maybe Daniel and Carly. At least they have something in common, but I just can't see.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I mean, I think Daniel just likes more.
At least they're sticking to Daniel's history. He saves her life, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, patient loving.
Yeah, fall in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Like, Daniel, her heart's there. As I give her a lymph node exam while I'm at it, okay? Oh, Lord. This whole heart business is going to be pretty. But anyway.
It's going to be so gross.
I'm just amazed that they actually did Johnny's eye story. I mean, now I don't know that much about the actual disease or anything, but it actually rang true, and the emotional drama around it was genuine. I mean, authentic. Having Jennifer's heart parted around by somebody I don't know. I just hope, like I said, please, Jennifer, do not wear non-skid socks. That does something for Dan. He's going to be all over you. It's hard to get away when you got non-skids on. So.
So I heard we have a Daniel poem you wanted to recite for us, Anna.
No, this is a Christmas poem from a few years ago, but I don't know.
You could do it.
I don't know. It's a little. If you want me to, it'll take me a second. I need to find it. there
you're
it is.
Supposed
okay.
to come prepared.
Okay. Well, I it was after Christmas, so I missed this year. I would have dusted it off this year, but I was so consumed with Johnny this year that I completely forgot about. Damn. Okay, so I found it. So okay, this is a little late because it's a Christmas themed thing, but. Ode to Dan. This is Christmas to Ode to Dr. Dan. And you'll have to excuse some of these references to couple names in here go back to two, three years ago, so some people might not even know who these people are. But, I don't see any Jammy, Lumi, Tana, or Date. I see us bound by the love of Dan Hate. We are like snowflakes, no two are alike, but we all want to see Dan leave town on his bike. Despite the forced pairings and dumb plot device, we know who's been naughty and who has been nice. Sure, we may want Ejoli or an angel and Cupid, or simply for EJ to not look so stupid. We may want a safe or, God forbid, Chan, meaning Chelsea and Dan, but there is no mistaking our disgust for Saint Dan. Well, some may like checks, meaning Max and Chelsea, or have low self-esteem. We all wish we hadn't seen Dan's nasty dream. Dan is a perv and a creep, we agree, and none want to see what's under his tree. It's not his fault, it's the writer's pen, but let's just hope he won't touch her again. There's something familiar about Chloe and Dear, that special look when cars come near. We don't want to see it, the grope or the looks, for Clan is just gross in most of our books. Please, writers, please have mercy on us and throw someone else under the bus. So there you go.
That's hilarious.
That was after the grope / lymph node scene. That was inspired a couple Christmas ago.
Oh my God!
So,
now I was
so
trying not to laugh out loud.
Now I should send that to Jennifer. Give her a heads up.
That's a good idea. Oh, send me a copy. I'm gonna put that on the blog. That's
okay.
Hilarious.
Okay.
Well, we have a caller, so I want to get caller. Your area code 770.
Hi, this is Angela from Atlanta.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, I called, I guess, about 2 weeks ago. I missed you guys last weekend.
Yeah.
But we're talking a little bit about the Johnny Cancer story, and I do think they handled it a lot better than I probably imagined they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, though, I still just, even as well as they handled it, it's just softly depressing, children and all this kind of peril, especially at Christmas time, is still to me a little bit macabre. And then also, we were talking about the Chloe situation, and again, I think several people have kind of mentioned some spoilers, so I guess it's okay to talk about a little bit of this. But I guess one of the things that I've read this past week, I guess in the previews that they've published that's coming up, is that a part of Chloe's postpartum depression, and I'm happy about the fact that she's really getting a dramatic storyline. I think that's good. I'm looking forward to that part of it. But evidently, they're going to write it such that maybe that the child Parker is in danger. She's going to try to commit suicide. And I just feel like we've had enough of suicide.
Yeah.
Between the
mm-hmm.
scenario with EJ last September. There's been so many really, really dark places that the show has gone. And I understand, it's going to be dramatic or over-dramatic. But I guess I don't particularly want to see any more children in peril. I'm excited to see that Nadia Bjorlund is getting an opportunity to really shine a little bit. And I think, I know I saw the interview, I think I maybe mentioned this 2 weeks ago, that she did – Eric Martzoff did the Days 45 online interview, and she
mm-hmm.
kind of sat in on a part of it. And, she didn't have very much makeup on at all, and she said, that they were doing that intentionally because, she was depressed. And so I felt like that was, so much more realistic. Of course, she's lovely, regardless
mm-hmm.
whether she's got makeup on or not. She's beautiful. But I
said that they listened to what people were saying when they did the when they had her in the coma, and we were all laughing about how she was totally made up.
Exactly. And even James Scott, in some interview, I can't remember which one that I've heard, somebody was asking him just an example of something that he didn't think was realistic. And, I mean, I think they are friends outside of work, so I think he's pretty good friends with her boyfriend, too. But he had said, he made a comment about, if you're in a coma, you really don't need to be, kind of all dolled up, so to speak, especially if you've been in the coma mm-hmm. for months. It's hard to imagine that your hair and makeup would be perfect. I think they realize all that too. But I am excited about the fact that they're going to give her a chance to have a real storyline, but I'm not excited about another suicide discussion. And from what I'm understanding, I'm very excited about the Lauren Coslow interview. I'm just been thrilled to death about that. I got a chance to meet her last June at that at the Henry's Hat brunch. And she, what y'all were saying was my perception too. Very personable. Really took time to talk to you. Just lovely person. So
I wonder, that's so cool that you were there, because I was there too. And I was like, you know, it's funny, you don't realize, you know, there's so many people there and everything, but we may have even talked to each other and not known it.
Yeah, we probably have. You know, you just, like I said, you know, there were a lot of people there that weekend. I went to several events. I think I went to almost all the events that weekend.
Wow. There were quite a few. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was
I'm glad you had that experience with her. I'm glad that you felt that way.
Oh yeah. And, you know, because one of the things I said to her, you know, was that, you know, I was kind of taken by surprise when they first put her with Stefano, and kind of wondered what was going to happen, and she kind of giggled too, and she said, well, you know, we kind of wondered that too at the time, and but it's, you know, it's worked out, you know, just so fantastic. I'm just fantastically, and I was so excited this past weekend when they kind of got back together again.
I know
that was really good, and I think this is a video that you know, Mage AMEJ26, and I think someone's talked to her on Twitter this week. She's had some fantastic new videos out. She always does such a good job, especially with all the EJME ones. But she also had two that were really, really funny. I don't know if everybody saw those or not. If you haven't seen them, you really should go and see them on YouTube. But one of my favorite little scenes, and I actually had written a post on another site about a month or two ago when this scene first aired, but, you know, it was just like when Stefano had gotten some great news. I've forgotten now what it was, and he was so excited, and he kissed Kate, and then he was going to run out the door to go, to take care of something, and he turned around, and he came right back to her and gave her another kiss.
I love it.
The sweetest day. I just thought it was just, it really looked so impromptu, and just like something like you would really do if you were really excited and you were the person you love. So anyway, I look forward to seeing the interview hearing the interview, I guess, with her. But also, speaking of Joe Mascola, I read this just a few minutes ago on Twitter, and then I went to his website, and it is true that his mother passed away right at the end of December.
Oh, no.
And, you know, his parents both lived to be a very, you know, very long age. I think his dad passed away 2 years ago. They both, his parents were married, I think, 80 years. And so his mother just passed away in December. He has a nice post out on his website talking a little bit about that. But I was sad to see that. I may try to send a card.
Thank you for mentioning that. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I just saw it about
30 or 45 minutes ago. Somebody had put it out. I think he actually posted it on his site on the January 10th, but I don't check his site all the time, so I don't know.
He's so sweet. When I met him the first time a couple of years ago, it was one of those Day of Days, you know, events, and I go up, I couldn't remember my alphabet. I was trying to find him in the book so he could find the page, and I'm like, in front of Stefano DeMiro. I'm like, what do I do? I lost my mind for a minute, I think. And he said, what's your name? And somebody was trying to help me find the page. And I said, Anna. I wish it were Anna DeMira, but it's not. And he goes, that's my mother's name. And he just, the way he looked, I was like, this made me melt. It was so sweet. So,
well, I'm very envious. He's one of the stars of the show I've never met. He had originally, I think, been scheduled to go to Boston in August, and I also had not met Louise Sorrell either, and I literally had wanted to meet her, but then he had to cancel and not be able to be there, and I had already, you know, paid for the tickets and stuff to the event itself, and so I decided last minute and just not to go because I had a lot going on. But he's one of those actors I would love to see. And that brought up something, too. I sat in, I don't know if any of y'all sat in on the Days 45 online interview with Suzanne Rogers this past week. They started doing these, I guess, in November. Yeah.
Who is it? What was it?
I guess Sony is maybe, I don't know who's sponsoring it, but it's the Days 45 online website. Okay. Basically, it's sort of celebrating their 45th anniversary, and they've been doing interviews, did a lot of interviews in November and December, and then they're promoting the books as well, you know, the coffee table book right now with the pictures and so forth, and then they announced relatively, or at least I saw it just in this last week, that they were going to do an interview with Suzanne Rogers, and I think it was on Wednesday, Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember which day now. It was very good. You know, she's a very sweet person. I met her at the Francis Reed luncheon back in June on that Sunday. But she did a great job. And if you haven't seen it, you know, they have those in the archives. You can go out online. I think it's days45online.com. And you can go to the archives and see it. But she mentioned something that I thought was just really a great idea. And if they would do this, I think I would buy a ticket and go for sure. But, you know, they were asking her questions about, you know, just, you know, of course, she and the relationship with Victor and, you know, I guess their portmanteau magic. And, of course, she's, you know, she was excited this summer when I met her at that Francis Reed luncheon. She brought her mother with her. And I got to meet both of them. I actually had to take a phone call right before they got there, and so I was kind of standing away from people, and they walked through the gate. And so, you know, it's like you see someone, you just almost know them, even though you've never met them in your life. So I got a chance to talk to them, and her mother was just precious as well. And, you know, and she was so excited over Maggie and Victor. That was what she was, Suzanne's mother was talking about, too. But so, anyway, she talked about that, and she was saying, I forgot exactly what the question was, but she said that what she would like and what she thought would be a fun thing to do would be for John Aniston, Joe Mescola, and Lauren Coslow, the four of them, to go and do some personal appearances.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be great. I was joking online the other day that the characters ought to go on a double date. Can you imagine Stefano and Kate and Victor on a double date?
I think it would be a hoot. And, yeah, they're sending a lot of the younger teen group. I think Ariane Zucker, I know, and maybe Eric Martsoff, I can't remember who the other more experienced person is, but they're going, I guess, to Florida in February for a public appearance down there. And but anyway, I thought that was really clever what Suzanne was saying. I think because if they would have the four of them at a public appearance, I think I would love to go. I think they would just be a hoot. So I thought that was pretty interesting. The other thing, I kind of still on the same line with the Days 45 online. I will say, you know, that as they're continuing to have these interviews, you know, they asked for questions, and I had submitted some things through Twitter, and they did ask most of my questions. I was impressed that they really read. I got a thank you about my questions, and they actually asked most of them.
Cool.
In one form.
I did go to one. I went to the very one Joe Mescola had one, and I haven't been back, and I keep forgetting about them, and it was very good. I mean, you could actually see him, and then I was in the chat room, and I submitted my questions, and he answered like two or three of mine, and I thought that was, it was nice.
I think it's getting better. I did not see that one live, so to speak. I think it was
one of the very first ones.
Right, and they're still at the beginning of them. If you do plan to go, you know, if they say it's going to start, you know, at 3, be prepared. It may not start till 3:15 or something. They're still, I think, working out the technical side of it for some reason. I'm not quite sure what all the issues are. But again, it was still excellent. And then they had evidently promised to have a interview a week ago Friday with Greg Ming, who was the Corday production manager in charge of production, and then Eddie Campbell, who was the photographer and art director who did most of the coffee table book. And then they decided to include, which I thought this was kind of interesting, they decided to interview Molly Burnett again with them. I think I mentioned 2 weeks ago that in the interview that they did with her originally, Mark Hopka had called in and had a couple of not-so-nice little comments to make about J. Kenneth Johnson. He didn't use his name, but you could tell that's who he was saying something to. And I mentioned that on your program, and I also I'd written a column that actually didn't get posted somewhere else. But if anybody even saw that, you know, it was obvious it was there. So I wondered kind of if they were kind of doing a little bit of damage control to get her back on for a different interview. And so I had submitted some questions to Greg Ming, especially since in light of the fact that we had seen that, you know, both J. Kenneth Johnson and Shelley had put in their resignations. And the only thing I've really said, I mean, I don't think it's anything really harsh. I just said that I felt like the viewers were unsettled right now, and that this might be some of the most discontent that we've seen since 2003 or 2008, or just in terms of just not really knowing quite what was going on. And my question to him was how did they plan to reassure the fans? And but of course didn't get that answer. Didn't get an answer from that because he didn't show
up. Well, I heard he didn't show up. He didn't.
He came at the very last second. They said that he was involved because they are, like y'all had mentioned earlier, they were doing the photo shoot for the Times Square promotion for the February sweep.
He probably knew he was going to get bombarded.
I really feel like that was it too, is that because of all the news that had come during the week, I felt like he maybe wasn't prepared. But they said he came on at the very end and waved and said hello and said that he was sorry that he wasn't able to be there because there were just been so many pressing things going on with this photo shoot. But that they would reschedule it for this coming week. So I'm looking forward to it because I'm anxious to hear what he's got to say, especially if he's on there by himself. He's going to have to answer some questions, I would think. Again, I'm not saying call and pounce on him. I'm just saying that we all seem to have a lot of questions, and he certainly should be representing Corday, so maybe we'll actually get some information. So that's where
it's interesting because every time someone posts a thread at NBC or Sony calling the writing into question, it gets deleted.
Yeah, I tell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's unbelievable. This is the most, and I think I've said this before, I'm not a Dena Higley fan, but I'm not, out there with the petition saying, but I'm not sure that sending them a petition and saying, fire this person is the way to really approach getting something like that done. I can understand.
Well, it doesn't necessarily work. They had a petition to fire James Riley about 2 years before we finally got rid of him. That didn't really do anything.
Yeah, I think there's some things that I think these campaigns probably are helpful for. I think obviously the fans that like James and Allison Sweeney, obviously have made tremendous inroads in keeping that at the forefront. I'm just not sure at this point, and based on what the ratings have been and everything else, they've had plenty of opportunity if they really were so inclined. I guess my approach at this point is to really focus on trying to get Sony more involved because I just don't think from a Corday production perspective they're going to necessarily make that decision. If Sony ends up with more of a say, they may be able to. But whether that happens and how that may happen, I don't know. But I was encouraged, too, to find out that this year the photo shoot, and that they've been leaking some really cute pictures. There's a lovely picture of Nadia and Ari and Allison Sweeney.
Allison, yeah.
And which was really cute. And then, they showed the picture of EJ.
In bed.
So they're I think a lot of folks are excited over that. But it sounds like they've really put some time into it, and Sony is flipping the coin for that this year. And I don't think the last one they did was not well received, and people didn't really even realize and recognize that it was Days of Our Lives on the big Sonytron. So they've really put some extra money into doing that, and Sony's really putting all the money into doing that. So looks like they've got some interest, at least in really trying to publicize the show and get a good have that be a good vehicle for them.
Has anyone seen any promo pictures with Kate and Stefano though? Because I haven't seen any yet, and I'm kind of annoyed.
I don't think that I have either. But just this coming week was the week that they, really. We're together, so they filmed so far in advance.
That's true.
That's the other thing. That would be one of the things too. I'd love to talk with Greg Ming about, or someone, maybe even outside of that. I think I may have mentioned this before too. I at one time had an interview set up with someone else who had been a writer, and I think y'all have interviewed Sherry Anderson, and so have I, and I don't know that she would really be comfortable answering this question right now since I know she's involved with the books tied to the show, but just another person who has written for soap operas and how things really work. You know, just, you know, there's the pros and cons to being so far ahead.
I don't remember who it was, but somebody asked her if she'd come back now, and she said she wouldn't want to the way things are.
Yeah, she.
Right?
I think,
yeah.
Isn't that what she said?
She's happy with her books and stuff.
Yeah. I think
her books she has some control over.
Right. Well, I think she has been. I think she said that. Well, in the interview that I did, I think she said that that she would be, she would consider doing being a consultant, but you know, again,
mm-hmm.
right now she was really pleased and happy with what she was.
Writer.
What she was doing, but and again, I don't think that would probably be an appropriate question to ask her right now specifically about the show, because again, she's you know she's kind of on the team. You don't want to be second quarterbacking whoever's on, you know, the lead, and she's, you know, she's been in that situation herself. But I think just in general, you know, just the way they approach writing on almost all of these programs right now, I think it's, you know, there are fans, just a lot of fans, not just with Days of Our Lives, seem to be feeling like there's a real disconnect between what they're really interested in and what the stories are and what actually is making it on the screen and what actors are getting dropped. Because just as we're sad about, we are or aren't sad about Mark Hapka and J. Kenneth Johnson, Shelley Hennig, you know, ABC lost three, you know, two pretty strong leading ladies this past week, and then I'm not quite sure where I didn't.
And who did they lose again?
Rebecca
Hurst,
from General Hospital, who was a fantastic actress.
Oh yeah,
actress.
That's right. She's been on for a long time.
She was fired. I mean, she's been on maternity leave. She just had her third child, and from just, again, what I've read, I have no idea if it's true or not, but and it looks like from what the support she's gotten from her fellow cast members, everybody was pretty shocked and sad. And she'd been on there 13 years. She's kind of,
wow.
In a way, she's kind of like Sammy, because, you know, the character of Sammy or Allison Sweeney, in that she really grew up on the program. And, you know, she was a part of the core family on, a part of Audrey, you know, Hardy's family. You know, one of the core families of General Hospital. So I think that was a real shocker, considering, you know, they had just brought on several other newbies, so to speak, on contract, and then they have some people that, you know, and I've hoped for years that Jason Cook, you know, and maybe even Kirsten Storms would eventually come back as Shell to Days, because I loved them when they were younger. And that, you know, iteration, and that they've, you know, matured, have children and all that kind of stuff, and they're off the story. But, you know, I'd always kind of held out hope for that. And, I mean, because they never, Jason Cook is rarely, and I mean that, but is not an understatement, he is rarely on General Hospital. But they keep him on contract. But, you know, you just don't see him very much. I mean, right now they are doing a little bit between he and Kirsten, but, you know, nothing like it would have been, you know, like it's on Days. But anyway, Rebecca Herbst is to me, that was a huge, huge news item. And then Melissa Egan, who plays Annie on All My Children, now she resigned. Right.
Her own
volition, it sounded like. But, you know, you don't know if they, you know,
yeah.
She, you know, exactly what the situation was. And then there's another young woman. I don't watch One Life to Live, so I don't really know very much about how prominent her role was, and I think she resigned as well. So they had three, and then at least on, I guess, Daytime Confidential this week, they had a blind item. They haven't said which show, but they said it was not the one. It was not one from New York, which means it's not One Life to Live, but one of the other six has a mandate to slash their production budget by 50%. We know it can't possibly be Days of Our Lives.
They've already done that.
I mean, they've already slashed it. 50%
is nothing.
Yeah, 60%. So, so that would be basically zero. Everybody'd have to come in for free.
Yeah,
I kind of
wondered when it was gonna happen to all the others. If Days can make it a slash budget, and the other networks are gonna make sure that the
there's a lot of speculation out there. I think from what Jamie Giddens, the editorial director at Daytime Confidential, has said in the past and on some of his podcasts and in some of his columns is that, you know, All My Children is definitely, even though they moved them to the West Coast to save money, they are way over budget every single month. And, of course, their ratings are still not very good at all. And then General Hospital, I don't think, has performed as well. Obviously, that they're the ones with the biggest budget.
And even Sherry
Well, One Life to Live, hiring the guy who got Guiding Light canceled doesn't exactly help that.
Yeah, wasn't that bizarre? You know, I mean, I know, again, Agnes Nixon, you know, of course, is, you know, still like one of those, you know, founders almost, you know, one of the original mentees of Irma Phillips, just like Ted Corday was, just like Bill Bell, you know, obviously, and All My Children is basically her baby. And even though, you know, she obviously had an impact on Another World and One Life to Live, a whole bunch of other programs, but, you know, that was the show that she really had written the Bible from scratch and held on to for several years. And so I know she, you know, obviously still has a very vested interest in wanting to keep that show alive. And I know ABC wants to do that too, I'm sure, for her and for other reasons. But, they brought Lorraine Broderick back, who was a very good writer. She actually wrote it one time for days. I can't remember how long ago it's been. It's been a long time. But
She wrote for Days twice. When they fired Riley, in between Riley and Hogan Shuffler taking over, and then she used to write in the early 90s, late 80s.
I think that sounds right. So I think she seemed to have kind of gotten things a little bit more on course. Again, I'm not watching the show actively, so I couldn't tell you a lot of the detail of what's going on there, but from what I've read, you know, when they, you know, she was just there temporarily, and then they brought on the writing duo from Guiding Light, which has obviously not been a good move. But I think this goes back to I've got this whole hypothesis of they really need to kind of reshuffle the way they're doing the writing now, because I think it's the same kind of issue on a lot of these, just on all of them.
Remember Sherry Anderson made that comment about how, you know, they used to be in the same room and they'd kind of bounce off each other and everything, and they had a rapport as far as the writing team is concerned. And now, who knows where these, you know, people live, if they even watch the show. You know, I mean, some of them are great. I mean, I love the dialogue writing that the Coolitons do.
They're fantastic.
And I enjoy Ryan Kwan's, you know, sometimes. But Kwan, and he's fairly new. I mean, I think he's been the writing assistant for a long time. But, but you know, it's like, you know, so they do a good job. Some of them do a great job in certain, you know, for certain things, but it's like you can tell that there's continuity issues, and a lot of that's probably because they're not talking to each other. You know, they're not coordinating with each other more. And I'm sure it's very difficult to do. I mean, I give them some credit, you know, just because it's, as Sherry was saying, it's a totally different ball game. Not only are they on tighter budgets, producing more shows a week than they used to back in the day, but they do have these challenges of, you know, not being in the same room, even meeting each other. You know, a lot of them have never even met the actors, you know. So,
well, it's, and you know, that I called in for that show as well.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And I agree with you. And I watched, I guess I am a real nerd, but I have watched several of these Emmy archive oral histories. I'm very into all kinds of things like that. And, you know, I watched again for the second time not too long ago both the Bill Bell interview and the Kay Alden interviews. And, of course, Bill Bell has passed on now. His was done, I think, sometime in the late 90s, and Kay Alden, I think, was interviewed possibly around that same time, but certainly it had to have at least been 2002 at the absolute latest. But, you know, both of them, you know, will talk so much about what the process was like. And obviously once it goes to an hour, I understand, you know, you can't just have people come sit around the dining room table all day. But but it's the same issue. I've done a lot of org change consulting in my career and project management of IT projects, and it's the same thing. Everyone is always spread out. and it's just there's just too much room for folks to get confused or not quite all be on this exact same page. And I find it a miracle that they're doing all that they're doing. I think one of the reasons that Days is doing as well as they are is that if you look at that writing team now, they've got some heavy hitters on there. I think that's another reason why, you know, I personally, you know, and again, I'm not calling for anybody to fire anyone, but I do think that, you know, they have a great team. I mean, Michelle Lasante, has worked a lot, I think, with Gary Tomlin in writing. I don't know if it was Santa Barbara or some other program. She's been on Days as a writer or co-head writer for a long time. You know, the Culletons, you know, are stellar. They've won all kinds of Emmys, and both of them, I think, have been head writers. David Churchill, you know, is a very experienced writer. So, I mean, they've got really some folks that probably have got the strengths to write things, you know, in a fashion where it would be more, especially think about it, if you were a married couple, you'd have a big advantage to writing together, you know, because you'd be right there. So you could almost still kind of almost recreate kind of that little come sit at the dining room table and let's work on this, you know, like they talk about in the old days, versus if you're spread out and all over the place. Here, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and Susan Dansby was a writer on As the World Turns. I think she was a dialogue writer. So, you know, again, that would have been kind of further down the chain of, of getting information. But she has done a lot of local press since As the World Turns went off the air. And I went and met her in person trying to set up an interview a couple of weeks ago here. She had a public speaking engagement with the Georgia Speakers Association, and I went and talked to her in hopes of doing an interview. And, and to her credit, and I'm very excited for her, she's gotten actually a writing gig now at Young and the Restless, so I don't think she can talk to anybody right now because she's busy with that. But I was very interested in just kind of that whole process because it just seems to me that that's kind of where part of the breakdown is. But I think, you know, so if part of what Mark Hopka was saying, which I think some of it, in my opinion, kind of came across as sour grapes, and I do think that Jake, Kenneth Johnson, and Shelley have been a lot more professional as far as just kind of, you know, keeping everything positive and just, you know, leaving the situation as it is. But, you know, but even so, with his comments, I think that indicates, you know, he kept talking about there was such a delineation in terms of who was writing for whom. And I could just see personally, again, if you had some people that were in LA, and again, I don't have a map of exactly where everybody lives. I don't think the Culletons live in Los Angeles. I think they're East Coast folks. You'd have an advantage. The Culletons could write, let's say, the Sammy, EJ, a lot of that story together, and they could write, they could come up with, you know, and do more of it as a, you know, kind of a sit down and let's go through the whole process and you know, crank it out, versus with some of the others, especially if people are spread out and assigned different groups. So it'll be interesting to see what happens right now, since basically the younger set has really been kind of torn out completely. You know, it kind of leaves Melanie out there, and with Chad and Gabby and Will, and then I guess we
if
also.
If only they would put her with Will and Gabby. And
well, that's what I think they're going to do. I think that looks to me like what they're starting to
really?
Try to do. Yeah.
No, they're putting Melanie with them.
That, I mean, she's in that age group.
Oh, that's true. But
I mean, she is really in that age
Melanie.
Group. That, I mean, that, you know, there was also an interview that I read off of Daytime Royalty, and this came out sometime last summer, and I can't remember if it was June, July, sometime. But originally, J. Kenneth Johnson's contract was up in January 2011. And the article came out, like I said, it was almost 6 months in advance, saying that he had re-signed and extended the contract until June of 2011. And in that interview, one of the things he talked about was that, you know, that, you know, he was a little bit concerned about the storyline. And he said it in a very professional way, but it was basically some of the same comments you guys have made earlier tonight, you know, in terms of, you know, kind of where his, you know, rather than being kind of the titan of industry and, you know, kind of foe of EJ or, you know, and really sort of his own center story, he was really, you know, very much tied with just Melanie, and I don't think that's where he thought the character, he wanted the character to go. And so he was saying in that interview that, and again, I'm talking about something I read now more than 6 or 7 months ago, but as I understood what he was saying is that, you know, that they, you know, he was anxious to see where the story would go and if, in fact, it would go, but, you know, kind of in a little bit different direction, then, you know, he was excited to try to stay and see what was going to happen. So I just got the impression that they, you know, especially since now right now, as far as I know, Melanie, you know, has not lost the baby. I think originally there were some rumors that she was going to lose the baby, and she may still.
Oh, she's losing it. Yes, she is. Corday already said she's going to lose it.
So any event, my personal opinion, which, you know, take it for what it's worth, I think that she probably does belong more in the teen set than she does in some of the storylines.
Yeah,
she's
but
been
I think maybe it would have been different for JKJ if they'd taken Melanie and not tried to make her a heroine. You know,
exactly.
If they left her a bad girl,
mm-hmm.
then maybe the age difference wouldn't have mattered so much because, I mean, what's Philip doing these days, you know, sitting around at Mike Horton's house?
That's the whole issue. And now, you know, if we wanted to have, you know, the Flowey reunion, I mean, I think it would be almost, you know, he certainly is a central cast member, and he would be the, out of those three, you would think he would probably be the person that they might recast. They've recasted him before, but that character before. But, you know, I just don't think, I think that would just be too much in the middle of now with the baby and all these things, and you'd have to be getting accustomed to somebody coming straight in, you know, into the middle of a story. And, you know, and it doesn't sound like that's what they're going to do. I think y'all mentioned, too, the photo shoot, you know, that they're showing, you know, Chloe and Nicole and Brady as sort of a triangle. So I have the feeling that that's and I think Kate is supposed to get more involved with wanting the baby, take care of the baby, you know, since the suicide attempt or whatever they're going to do with Chloe. So,
I just hope they don't put her in the meddling mom category again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Sounds like they're going to do, though.
Do that a lot. So, I don't know. I hate to see J. Kenneth Johnson leave. I've, you know, loved watching him as long as he's been on the show. I just met him real briefly this summer. I met Shelley Hennig this summer, and, of course, I met Mark this summer. So, they all were, you know, very, very nice in person. I just think, you know, Jay's been there a long time. He's come and gone. But I think it's a big loss, and it's a shame. But I do think while they have resigned, I do think – I bet you that the storyline, you know, probably didn't show a lot for them. And I think they've done very well.
The part is that Gina and Jerry don't realize that they're losing it. Only the fans realize what we're losing.
Well, see, and I don't think that I think that's true not just for Days. I mean, I think.
Well,
I
agree.
And
when they hired the original Lucky back, I was all excited because I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to get a Lucky and Elizabeth reunion, and of course they screwed it up immediately.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. There's some systemic things that need to be changed. I think overall, and I don't.
There's something wrong in soap opera when the only soap opera I'm interested in watching is the one I hated the most.
And I've been giving that I've actually been giving that a try. My DVR has the whole week on there, and of course I've been running it on SoapNet. I'm going to attempt to watch just a little bit more, but I've been watching it here and there.
I gave up watching YNR when Terry Lester went away, when he was no longer.
He passed away
again, and I swore that would never ever happen, and here I am watching YNR. It's just.
Yeah. Now, Terry Lester, did he pass away?
Yeah. Carrie Lester. Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another Jack for me.
Yeah.
The guy playing Jack now is, that's not Jack.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that wasn't the Jack I remember from the, that's actually Cliff. That guy will always
yeah.
be Cliff.
Oh, for all that children.
Peter Bregman will always
not,
be Cliff.
He's just not as naughty and fun as Terry Lester used to be.
Yeah.
So
well,
I know the writing is part of it, but.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think it'll be interesting to see, like, 'cause I'm sure Daytime Confidential will break something as far as which show has a 50% budget to make up for, because whoever that is, they're going to be going through some similar situations that Days has faced, I'm sure. But
it's not already One Life to Live. I'll bet you that's who it ends up being.
Yeah, they said it absolutely was not One Life to Live.
Really?
And, yeah. I mean, I'm getting my information from what Jamie Giddens is saying, because I don't have any inside track whatsoever with One Life to Live. But, you know, they've characteristically said that they really run a tight ship, and those folks, no matter what they've been given, have come in under budget, whereas General mm-hmm. Hospital and All My Children have both been over, but it sounds like All My Children...
Maybe with General Hospital's horrible raining since Brenda came back. Maybe they're about to rein in the budget over there. That would be
well, you know, and they, you know,
they've got to be spending the most.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've got the. I mean, just look at the. If you compare the production value of General Hospital to Days, it's like Daytime and Dark.
Nighttime.
I mean, it's a huge difference. The music, the lighting, the sets. The amount of cast that they've got, it's a huge difference. But again, I guess we'll find out soon enough. But if from what I'm understanding, All My Children has really been bleeding a lot of money, and then they're not bringing in the ratings either. And you know, I personally haven't seen very much written at all that was very positive. The only thing I've read recently that was positive on All My Children was actually that Lindsay Hartley has done a pretty good job going over there in whatever her new role is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most positive
thing
I've read.
I'm sure her character was far way more interesting than the one she was playing on Days.
She mm-hmm. could be playing a wallpaper hanger, and it would be more interesting than the role that she was playing on Days of Our Lives. That and they talked. If you were at any of the events in June, she was at the. Q&A with Allison Sweeney, James Scott, Mark Hopka, Eric Martzoff, Ariane Zucker at one of the first Q&As that Saturday. And, you know, it was just clear. I mean, you know, she's obviously not a gang member. She's not, you know, dealing. She's not a cocaine dealer. She's not a, you know, here's this little petite thing, you know, just, you know, lovely person, so it really didn't, you know, I don't think anybody really knew, you know, and, I mean, they were almost kind of giggling to themselves as to, you know, her role, so no one did her justice from the beginning when they brought her on, but anyway, those were just kind of some of my thoughts. I also wanted to say I'm excited about your interview with Matt Ashford. I have not met him, so that'll be interesting. I'll be glad to hear that. I have written several tweets in the last week or two just saying, because it's even before they really had finished the Johnny Cancer storyline, that, you know, it would be a real classy thing to do if they did, you know, whether they bring Matt back to Days or not, which, of course, I would love to see that eventually, but that to have him do kind of a PSA or something for retinoblastoma. At least at the end of one of the programs, I think that'd be a pretty good thing to do, because obviously he's dealt firsthand. So it'll be interesting to hear. I'll try to participate in the interview you've got scheduled for him. But anyway, those were just my thoughts from this week. I'm also say hooray that the prison story is coming to a conclusion.
Oh, thank God.
I wrote some posts months and months ago about saying I just don't see this story coming to fruition, and this story really never came to fruition. And like I said, but now the fact that they're going to do whatever they're going to do to poor Jennifer, I just find that words don't even begin to describe why in the world they're doing that. I don't know, but I guess they're going to take her heart out and then Dr. Dan will come into the rescue and put it back in. And
oh, he'll molest it first, don't you?
Yes. I'm just going to say that.
He's going to grope it, molest it. Sorry.
You know, honestly, I'm trying to think what it was. This past an episode this past week where Joe Mescola and James Scott were in the scene, and I guess it's when they were Stefano was explaining about the basement or whatever plan he has for Ray, and you know they were laughing, and I read something. I think it may have been on the Sony board. I can't remember. And someone had made the comment that, you know, they really, truly looked like they were so very genuinely just hysterical. And so they could probably see how the actors could just be having to laugh a little bit to let it out, even the preposterousness of the whole conversation, you know. You know, I wouldn't blame them a bit because I guess, although I'm kind of excited about seeing it, if they've got, they can put at least one of, I'd rather not have two Rafes, but if they're going to have to do that story, maybe we'll get some more humor.
Anyway, I don't mind two Rafes is if we get to see him tortured. You know, that would be kind of fun. One has to be with Sammy, and that's its own torture in and of itself. And then if they could beat the other one or something every once in a while, or hit him over the head with a brick or something, you know, that would do it for me. I could live with it.
Make him watch Sammy having sex with Rafe number two. And
yeah,
really
there you go. See, between the two. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they should do
there
too.
You go.
They should have a live feed of Sammy's bedroom. So Rafe number one can watch
like Vivian did, yeah.
Yes, and
oh, well,
Rafe number one was Sammy.
Don't you remember when they had poor what's his name? Jason Cook as Sean in that cage.
Oh yeah,
worst stories it had.
2005. I remember how much
it was awful.
That Steve and Tao must have just had the hardest time keeping a straight face through any of this trip.
Oh, I mean, I'm serious. Jason Cook must have been having to pay penance for something. That was horrible.
2005 was just horrible in general. The whole, from beginning to end, it was just
God. Who was writing then?
Riley.
James
Riley.
So he was writing that, and Passions. Beth Milstein was still there.
All at the same time, and there were an awful lot of storylines that were exactly the same, too.
So anyway, well, of course he's on to a better place. So I guess there's no reason to blame. I'm not going to blame somebody that's not here on this earth to even defend themselves. But anyway.
Oh, go for it.
No. But I guess
I'm just blaming his writing talents. That's all.
Yeah.
We're not saying he's a
nothing to do with
murderer.
Him personally.
Right. Exactly.
I'm going to sign off because I know you've got other people probably that want to talk. One other thing that I could not find this weekend, there's been a lot of, I guess, whisper or discussion of that Carly is getting a big new storyline, you know, of her own. She's not going to be in a supporting role for Melanie.
Crystal tweeted, apparently, this, and then it got, she didn't say a whole lot about it, though.
Well, that was the whole point. Yeah, there was all this kind of hubbub, and then when I was reading, you know, whatever the canned presentation that comes out saying this is from Ken Corday, you know, there was just no mention of what they were going to do with the character at all. You know, just like what I think a lot of you thought, I thought they were going to probably end up putting her with Daniel, but obviously at least right away they're not going to, because they're going to at least try to play out this Daniel-Jennifer thing. I'm assuming, hopefully, maybe that causes enough angst that maybe then they'll bring Jack on, you know, to come save the day. I keep thinking that Jack really is not on a walkabout, that he's actually doing research somewhere, you know, trying to right the wrong.
Reading between the lines of Crystal's tweet, it sounds to me like she's pushing to get them to bring somebody in for her. I don't think she's got anybody. I don't think they've got any romance lined up for her. I'll be surprised. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope we see more of Hope and Beau, and that's also, I had looked so forward to this, you know, sort of adventure that they were going on, and I have enjoyed, any scenes they have had, I have enjoyed seeing, and I've even liked the guy from Hill Street Blues, you know, that's been on just a tiny little bit, but from what I'm reading, too, by the 1st of February, Hope is home and kind of bored trying to decide what she wants to do next. So that, you know, so we know that the prison story is winding down. They're going to send off, you know, Warden Jane and whoever the other folks and Dr.
I keep
wanting to call him Treadway, but that's not his name. That's his real name, Dr. Walters.
Walters. I call him Dr. Frankenstein on Twitter.
Dr. Frankenstein.
I was hoping Hope's sitting at home trying to figure out what to do. She doesn't remember she hasn't had a mammogram in a while and goes for a visit to the hospital. So Dr. Dan's a little lonely right now.
Oh, my God.
Be that.
That's so bad. That's very bad. But anyway, I guess that's kind of curious because, you know, I don't know how many people followed Crystal Chappelle from Guiding Light, but it sounded like there was a fair amount of folks. And I just, you know, you have to wonder if they're very excited about what kind of story they've had her in since she got there on the show, because she really has been kind of in the supporting.
I've been on a board that started before she came to Days. It's been a teleboard. That was the name of the pairing she was on in Guiding Light, and I haven't seen any excitement over there. They all wish Guiding Light was still going, and mm-hmm. But that's what she was doing. Most of them are all excited about Venice more than Days.
Well,
of
and
life.
I mean that. I guess her schedule probably gives her a good bit of time to work with Venice.
Well, they just a lot. I see a lot of posts over there. Remember, Days is paying for Venice. That's all they care about. Because actually, there at least she's having I don't know because I haven't seen it. I assume more realistic relationship than she is on Days. And she's never going to have the kind of relationship they want her to have, you know, with another woman on Days, because that's never going to happen on that.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that. I would be surprised. Well, ladies, I appreciate y'all letting me join in and talk to you guys tonight. This is
talk
fun.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Angela. Yeah, so, yeah. I covered a ton of stuff, huh?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what we haven't covered yet. Let's see. EJ Nicole's still getting married.
Oh,
Johnny.
Well, how about with no Shelley Henning anymore, you think we're going to see any more of Kayla?
Oh.
Probably not. No.
That's a bummer. Kayla are going to disappear into nowhere.
Did Kayla just disappear? It's like she was on and then all of a sudden.
Not only that, if they don't have Kayla on anymore, how long do you think it'll be before they kill Carolyn off?
Kill who?
Carolyn.
Yeah, Carolyn. Running the pub.
Well, I keep thinking it's going to be the Fernandez pub before long, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is there another brother coming too?
Yeah, Dario.
What age group is he going to be in?
I think he's
like
with
young?
Young ones.
I have no idea, but
my guess is because they showed that scene the other day where she was kind of flirting, friends with this kid at school. My thought is that Will's going to spot her with this cute kid and think that she's going to hug him or something, and he's going to think, oh, she's got another boyfriend or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's really going to be her brother. That's my guess, but, you know, I don't know.
Because why would he assume that's her brother when we haven't heard about this guy
in
over 2 years?
He didn't come to the funeral. They didn't talk about, they didn't mention him when, you know, Ari was died and everything. So, yeah.
Well, great for open and darkness. So.
Yeah.
If they can do that, they can do this. They don't care.
You know, they've been doing this
even
for,
made up history means nothing to these people.
Right.
They don't even bother with thinking it up.
I will say I have been surprised, and I think it's a couple of the writers that are doing it, not necessarily the head writer, but I have liked it when they've injected some of Kate's history recently into her motivation and into her, you know, different comments. Like when she was getting on EJ, I like the way it was in the typical days, I'm just going to nag this person to death and we're going to say the same thing 24 times over the next 3 weeks, whatever. I mean, she actually was like, look, you can do
that.
That
irritates
this
me
is...
all the more because then they ignore
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but they will
I
turn
mean,
on you and
here
you'll
she
be
she is
them.
Calling Sammy because EJ is going to take
yeah.
his kids away.
You know, but you know, like
Sam,
like
I'm
they
sorry,
actually Kate, brought it up more than once and like it's been a consistent, you know, look, when this happened with Billy and Austin, you know, they turned against their father and he was dead to them, you know, and they came to me, you know. Well, you know. So, you know, I like that at least there are these fleeting moments where some
well,
of the
I'd be
writers...
happier if it wasn't. I'd be happier if it wasn't only done simply for the plot.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, I got to at least give them credit.
And they're not doing it. No. They're not doing it actually because they care about history.
No. No.
They're doing
but,
it to, you know, whichever direction it's going in. And then 20 but, seconds later, you get whiplash because they do a
yeah.
totally 180.
True.
So, it's just, sorry.
Oh,
the show has really ticked me off this week.
Yeah, and the spoiler's out that Justin and Adrian are having sex. We were discussing in the chat room that means they're probably leaving town.
They're going to just...
But
well,
say that again, what? Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Well, better they leave, at least, and then Dina can't kill one of them off with on the pier or something.
And, yeah, I can't even remember last time I saw Justin, and there's no blowback on Adrian for keeping the Chloe Paterni's secret, too. But she's known about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she knew it was Philip, but she knew that it was switched, right? Did she know it was Philip's baby? I can't remember that part.
Who?
I don't remember.
Did Adrian know it was Philip's baby, or did Adrian just know it wasn't
Adrian.
Daniel?
I think she just knew it wasn't Daniel.
Okay.
I don't
now,
think
maybe
she knew Philip. Oh, yes, she did. I think she did. I think Stephanie told her that it was Philip.
Yeah, so that's Justin's cousin.
I'm pretty sure.
So Adrian didn't have a problem with not telling Justin or his cousin that Philip's the father of the baby.
Pretty sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, while you forget who knew what.
Yeah, but she hasn't been on since the whole thing blew up.
Yeah, and he hasn't been on, like, forever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I almost forgot that he's there. The last time I saw him was
at Henry's Hat in L.A. last summer.
Yeah, he hasn't been in the credits. I noticed one day maybe about a month ago,
yeah.
I was deliberately looking at the credits for some reason, and I was like, wait a minute. You know, Wally's not even on there. I was like, I'm really bummed.
That sucks. Well, at least they get a reunion. That's something.
There you go.
Yeah. But they weren't broken up to begin with.
They disappear.
Yeah, well, they broke him up just to stick Justin with Hope, and that went absolutely nowhere.
Nowhere.
And they brought Adrian back, and she.
Been.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. Adrian and Justin have amazing chemistry still. They're still super cute together. They really are.
Yeah, and in person, I just love the heck out of both of those actors. They're great. I mean, I was sort of an Adrian and Justin fan. That, you know, it wasn't like Patch and Kayla or Bo and Hope for me or Hannah.
Right.
But I did like them, and but meeting Wally, I just loved him to death. He was so fun to talk with, and just interesting, nice, warm. And I didn't get to actually speak with Judy, but just being around her, I could just tell that she was just a really neat, you know, down to earth person. So
yeah, I remember when we were talking to Teo when they fired Judy the last time, I think when she was playing Bonnie.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, and Teo was like, "Oh, that was such a mistake." He just loved Judy. I mean, you know, Teo usually doesn't love a lot of people. I mean, usually he can kind of snipe to this person or that person, you know. But he just loved her to pieces, and you could tell he was completely sincere. Thought she was wonderful, and thought she was so talented. And she is. I mean, she was amazing on Guiding Light and Another World, and she played two completely different characters on Days of Our Lives. And they wasted her. And, you know, that's a shame.
They
and,
always waste the best actors. I don't know why that is, but it always seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just thought, I mean, I adore Maggie. I do. But why are we only seeing her? Why don't we get to ever see Julie and Doug? Why aren't they on the show regularly?
Yeah, they should be on the show more. I think, yeah. Great, like both of them.
Although, I mean, these aren't the first writers who have wasted them.
Yeah. Well, the show's coming to an end, girls.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm flying.
An hour and a half. Yeah.
So I wanted to thank Angela and Anna, Marianne, and Madeline, and all the cool peeps in our chat room, Nikki, Sherry, Sally, our newbies, Fred. And we had Anne on there for a while. She must have disappeared. But, you know, and Sherry. So thank you guys for all showing up tonight. And,
yeah.
I mean, between the chat room and the show, I was just laughing my ass off. You guys are hysterical. Thanks a lot.
Oh, this is fun. This is good therapy.
Thanks, guys.
Uh-huh. All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.